Can central banks counteract coronavirus, economically speaking? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Dow Jones Industrial Average in early trading is up 122 points, 0.5%, a similar percentage rise for the S&P 500. The NASDAQ at the moment is up 0.7%. This despite the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development in Paris saying today that under a longer-lasting and more intensive coronavirus scenario, global economic growth could be cut in half from nearly 3% to about 1.5% this year. Economist Julia Coronado is with Macro Policy Perspectives in New York.
Good morning.
So when the OECD says if it's under one of the scenarios, world growth could be cut in half, does that fit in what your thinking was coming out of the weekend, or is that new info?
I mean, I think it's formalizing into a forecast what we see happening on the ground, which is that this is going to be a protracted event that's going to affect many countries. So it's not going to be just the V-shaped China-centric impact we initially thought. So I think it's a useful way to kind of put it all together and give us some hard numbers behind what this could look like.
We also have some people hyperventilating over the fact that the benchmark interest rate, the yield on the government's 10-year note, is getting lower and lower. Historic lows could be 1% if you call me in a couple of days. That's not all bad news if you actually, you know, are in the market.
Well, it's not bad news if you own bonds that are appreciating, and it's not bad news if you're a consumer looking to refinance their mortgage. It is bad news when it reflects fear, which is something we see a lot of in the market right now. So I think it's depends on where you sit, whether this is good news or bad news.
If we reflect on the uncertainty that market players are facing, it's not that there's a secret answer to how will this coronavirus outbreak play out that's in some vault at the Federal Reserve or something. It's an answer that has to emerge over time, and it's very hard to get clarity on this at this stage.
That's exactly right. And that's why, you know, people are expecting the Fed to cut interest rates, but we don't know when or how or even whether that will make much difference, given that this is sort of a real shock, a disease that's going to hit the economy and hit a lot of people. And we just don't know how long it's going to take to recover from that.
Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you for the perspective.
My pleasure.
The VIX index of stock market volatility has fallen about 6% this morning to 38. This so-called fear index has readings of 10 or maybe 11 when it's calm, so it's not calm. London's FTSE index at the moment is down about 0.7%. The German DAX index down 1%. The U.S. 10-year interest rate is probing new record lows today, 1.08% on the 10-year yield. And there's news that the former CEO of General Electric, Jack Welch, has died. He was 84. He was seen as a superstar CEO who increased the conglomerate's sales fivefold during his tenure, but he was also called Neutron Jack for orchestrating the layoffs of tens of thousands of GE people. The International Air Transport Association took data from the SARS outbreak in 2003 and now calculates that coronavirus will cost the airline industry $30 billion. It will be the first downturn for that industry since the 2008-2009 crisis. Last week, Delta reduced service to South Korea. United announced it's limiting service to Japan, Singapore, and Seoul, citing a 75% decline in demand for its trans-Pacific routes. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
Travel agent John Decker at the LA-based Surf City Travel says he's been tracking lost revenue from flight cancellations for about a week.
We figured we've lost about $65,000 on commissions that we would have earned. And for a smaller agency that we are, that's a lot of money.
If there are enough cancellations, airlines start reconsidering whether the cost of flying is worth it. Henry Hardeveld is president of Atmosphere Research Group.
If you don't have passengers on that plane, if you don't have cargo being shipped and the revenue coming in from that, it makes no sense to operate a flight.
United is offering fee waivers for flights to cities in northern Italy, China, and South Korea. JetBlue is starting to waive cancellation and change fees. Charlie Leoka, president of Travelers United, says consumers can purchase travelers insurance, but many policies don't cover epidemics.
The number one thing you have to do is read the policy.
Insurance companies do offer cancel for any reason plans, but Leoka says they're often expensive. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
So the government says prepare for the coronavirus just in case. Keep provisions in stock, wash hands, elbow cough, and stay home if you're not feeling well. But for wide swaths of the U.S. workforce, staying home is especially tough. While 73% of the U.S. private sector workforce can earn sick days, about a quarter of people get their paychecks docked if they stay home. Elise Gould is senior economist at the nonpartisan liberal-leaning Economic Policy Institute. She has been reviewing the numbers.
So high-wage workers are much more likely to have access to paid sick days than low-wage workers. Only about 30% of workers in the bottom 10% of the wage distribution can earn paid sick days.
All right, so lower paid, less likely to get paid sick days. Which occupations would you say are least likely to get paid leave?
When we look across the economy, the ones that we're most concerned about not having access to paid sick days are those that work with food, those that work with the elderly, those that work with children in places that they deal with the public. So particularly when we think about food, in accommodation and food services, only about 45% have access to paid sick leave. That's the most latest data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics from 2019. So that means that over half of people in accommodation and food services do not have access to paid sick days.
So the economist in you must be concerned about this economic incentive to go to work even if you're not feeling well.
That's right. If you have to decide between paying for your rent, paying your bills, putting food on the table for your family, that's a pretty hard decision if you can't stay home and have that economic security.
So we've been covering this even before coronavirus. Some cities, for example, have been pushing employers to offer paid sick time. Do you think we'll see more of these calls?
I think absolutely, right? So the concern in the U.S. is that many people don't have access to paid sick days, many people don't have insurance, and luckily policymakers at the state and federal level can act and change this situation, right? We're seeing that across the country, states and cities have been enacting paid sick days legislation, and more people in the U.S. have paid sick days today than they did, let's say, 10 years ago. So there's absolutely movement that can happen among policymakers to make a difference. And I think we may continue to see that. But without federal action, there will be many people left behind, and illness could spread.
Elise Gould is senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute in Washington. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And after crashing last week, wholesale fossil fuel prices are moving up this morning. Crude oil in New York is up 2.5%, $45.90 a barrel. And natural gas is up 3% this morning, despite those forecasts for global growth falling either 0.5% or 1.5%, depending on how bad the virus outbreak gets. In New York, I am David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.